Welcome back, WNST, Taos of Baltimore. At Baltimore Positive, we are positively into summertime and baseball and the last couple of days of football before it becomes summertime in baseball season. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour everywhere, beginning at Spirits West next Thursday. We have a full schedule up at Baltimore Positive. We'll be telling you more and more about it. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I give away these instant lottery throwback scratch-offs. This has been a really lucky batch. We've had a lot of winners. Had some winners up at the local in Falston a couple of weeks ago as well. All summer long, and then we kick off our 25th anniversary tour beginning on August 3rd. We're going to start that at Costas on the 3rd. We're going to be at Drug City on the 4th, and then we're going to be doing 25 oysters in 25 days in the month of September to celebrate the pennant race as well as other things. This guy and I have argued Pittsburgh and Baltimore sports before. John Martin is on assignment this week as the executive director of all things Maryland Lottery and Gaming. And instead, Seth Elkin is here. And I love when Seth comes on because we talk a little baseball. We talk a little street stuff. Certainly going to talk a little sports wagering here. Always good to have the marketing department on. You guys are busy spinning that wheel all summer with all these events you guys are doing, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a busy time of year for us. You know, we were out at Hunfest, and we've got a whole bunch of other events coming up over the summer here. And of course, culminating with the state fair and a very big event for us there, where we're going to have a 10 of our finalists in the Cash Bash promotion, six of whom have been drawn already. There's still two more drawings where we're going to select four more winners of the finalists for the Cash Bash. And then we get to the state fair, and one of them is going to have a chance to win up to $5 million in that event. So
what is up to $5 million? Give me, what does that mean? Because you've never had an event like this, right? Like at the state fair where a couple of humans have been there. We've all seen the Ravens. All the Ravens fans know that for all these years, you guys have been doing tickets for life and giveaways and prizes and money, that it's always on the field. There's a drawing, there's a winner out of a handful of people, but this is $5 million. This is a different gig than, no offense, the Ravens tickets, or even to Barb last month who won herself 51 grand. That's great. It's $5 million. It's a whole different thing here.
Yep, it's a lot of fun. Of course, it's attached to our 50th anniversary, right? You know, we're turning 50, so everything's about the fives. It was that $50,000 prize that Barbara Phelps Anderson from Shadyside won for the 50th home run of the season, and a potential to win a $5 million at the state fair. So in addition to the $50 scratch-off ticket that we launched, the first time ever that we've had one of those that connected to our 50th anniversary. So having a lot of fun with that this year, and the fun continues as we go through the summer here.
Seth Elkin is here visiting from the Maryland Lottery. We're actually going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour right around the corner of Spirits West, out on Wilkins, right around from the headquarters there. Sports wagering. You and I didn't talk a whole lot about that the last month or two. It's ubiquitous now, right? It went from zero to me being a reporter, and that if I ever talked about gambling, they wouldn't have given me a press pass, to now Ben McDonald in the third innings talking about bets in the fourth inning. I still think the industry, and John and I talked at length about this last week, the industry's geared for football. I mean, it's a football thing in this country for the most part, but we have NBA finals, NHL, and there's people betting on baseball, but you guys are starting to tally numbers. And as a new entity for our state, certainly casino frontage and then mobile that came along in the last year, that the monthly take for the state, which is what you're set up to do. You're set up to do this, to make money that goes to a fund that it helps education, transportation, all sorts of things that the money does. But that money is starting to add up now in a way that 31 years of me doing sports radio here, there really is a monthly report that you're in charge of that's saying, hey, this is good for the state. This is money into our fund.
Yeah, and we are. It's very interesting to look at what these numbers are month to month. We're still really kind of getting a handle on exactly the dynamics of this market because, you know, keep in mind, this is only the second year. We launched the very first retail sports books launched in December of 2021. So we're like a year and a half into this now. And we're really only 6 or 7 months into mobile, which is where most of the market is. So we're really kind of getting a sense of the dynamics, and the conventional wisdom, the conventional thing that you do when you look at financial numbers is is the same period of time year over year. So May of this year compared to May of last year.
And that's impossible in this
which
case,
we can't.
Right?
We're at a point where we can't quite do that really in a valid way until the end of this year, because we didn't have mobile a year ago. The mobile launched right before Thanksgiving of 2022. So when we get to the end of the year, what you're going to see us do is look at December of 23 compared to December of 22. You really get a true sense of what the market is doing. Because at that point, you're comparing months with the same number of days and with the same sports calendar. And that's really the important part of this. You know, the calendar of events from one month to the next in sports wagering changes so much that it's a little odd to be comparing consecutive months to each other, which at this point is what a lot of people have a tendency to do. Well, how did May do compared to April? Well, you're talking about a completely different schedule of events. So it's not quite the apples to apples comparison yet, but still it's interesting to look at the dynamics of this and get a sense of what the numbers are. We just reported the May revenue, and the state got $4.6 million contributed to the Blueprint for Maryland's Future Fund, which is for public education. That's where the sports wagering money goes. And that is, I think, more than probably what we anticipated for May, more than what we anticipated for these spring and summer months, because the conventional wisdom, as you mentioned, is that you get more wagering interest in football and basketball season. And as you get into the spring and summer months, it starts to taper off a little bit. And that is certainly...
Well, baseball never built any... inertia ever, where football was always about gambling and pool cards. I've been a baseball fan forever in a baseball city. You and I talked about your affinity for Willie Stargell and your parents' affinity for Clemente before that. Baseball and wagering was never, I mean, P. Rose, right? I mean, yeah. Like, you know,
it was taboo. It was verboten. You weren't supposed to do it. Pete Rose got banned for life for doing it.
Well, people didn't understand it either, from starting pitching, and it was a 7.5 over an 8.5. And like, how do I even wager on? It was easy to say, oh, 3 points, 4 points in a football game. It was understandable. Same thing with hockey, with a goal and a half and two. Like, under when I would go to Vegas, and I'm a seasoned sports guy. I'm a huge sports fan, expert. That's what I've done my whole life. And I would go to Vegas and look up on the board and say, it looks like a racing form I don't understand. You know what I mean? And I think the baseball part of this that's coming along in regard to the way you would look at it, the way you would look at odds, the way you would look at value to say this is a good play for me or a bad play for me, as someone that would be wagering money, that is still shaking itself out as to how broadcasters are handling it, how it's being evaluated by people that maybe never bet on baseball before that now have an interest because they're watching games and they find entertainment in it. They find value in it in some way. The baseball side of this is where the upside, I guess, would be if people understood it better. And I think the broadcasters are the sports on that. The sport is very invested in educating you on how to play if you want to play.
Very interesting to see, considering, you know, as we just mentioned, how baseball has treated gambling over the decades. You know, it's been a real change in direction for all pro sports, really. But I think football lends itself to it because it's such a predictable schedule. It's one game a week. You have time to think and consider and look at all of the factors that weigh into how you might want to place your wager. But the interesting thing here with the numbers in May, I think, is the handle came down a little bit compared to April. Again, comparing consecutive months to each other, not necessarily the best thing to do, but I'm a walking contradiction. I'm going to do it anyway right now. There was less handle by about $8 million in May compared to April, but the contribution to the state went up from about $3.9 million to $4.6 million. So that's an interesting kind of look at the all of the variables that are involved in the dynamics of this business. It's a question of how the wagers go, how well people do on their wagers, how much the hold percentage is that the sportsbook operators hold after they pay their winnings. And of course, you know, a lot of unpredictable results that can have a big impact on how things go. We got NBA finals and Stanley Cup finals going on right now with two number eight seeds from South Florida that barely squeaked into the playoffs to begin with. And they're now in the finals. So that probably upset the apple cart on a lot of people's wagers. Anybody that had the Celtics or the Bruins going to the finals, as you might very well have if you had
lost
a bet on that. you lost your bet. You lost on the Celtics and the Bruins with that historic regular season. season, that epic regular season, got bounced out in the first round by the Florida Panthers. So,
They've done enough winning. I mean, for a Pittsburgh guy and a Baltimore guy, I'm done with Boston. I'm done with them for a while.
I kind of grew up as a bit of a Celtics fan. We didn't have a basketball team in Pittsburgh. And I had a friend that I grew up with whose parents were from Boston, and that turned all the kids in our neighborhood into Celtics fans, which was kind of fun, right at the right time in the 80s when the Celtics were good.
Well, I mean, it's funny you'd say that, because I was a big Pittsburgh Pisces fan when I saw the fish at St. Pittsburgh. So, I was a Dr. J guy as a kid. So Dr. J was my player. Seth Elkin is our player here. He's from the marketing department of all things Maryland Lottery and Gaming. State Wagering contributes $4.6 million to the state during May. You issued the press release. We're talking a little bit about that. The esoteric part of this was back in September, October, November, all these sports houses come online. They were all advertising here and there and everywhere about first plays, $200 this and free play that, and $5 get you 100 and all of that. That was an introductory offer. And part of that was that the state sort of looked the other way on the taxes of that in the beginning as promotional play, but a lot of that has now gone away. That's another reason why this thing is sort of gaining momentum, because players are playing now and the initial offer period is sort of going away for the most part.
Yeah, it's a very important point. The amount of promotional play is drastically less than it was in those first few months. And as you say, for the first year that the sportsbook operators are going here in Maryland, they get to deduct all of that promotional spending before we calculate how much tax they owe to the state. So that did impact the bottom line for the first few months, but that number is drastically lower now than it was. And there is a cap on it after the first year. So they're not don't have an unlimited amount of that to work with as they go forward. But I think we'll start to see a little bit more of that ramp back up as we get to football season, partly because there are still more operators to come online. We actually had one that launched right at the end of May, the Fanatics Sportsbook, which already was running a retail location at FedEx Field in Landover, started its mobile operation right at the end of May. They had their controlled demonstration date May 30th and then went live on June 1st. And that makes 10 now mobile operators here in the state. And there are still 11 more to go because there were 21 applicants. So those remaining 11 are all in various phases of preparing the launch. And we would anticipate that some or most of those are going to be ready to go by football season, because we know that the handle is going to ramp up at that point, and I'm sure they're going to want to take advantage of that. And you're going to see them come with offers when they launch. So that's going to ramp up a little bit of competition in the fall. And I think we're looking for that to see how that impacts things and see how much more market there is. Are these new operators, when they come online, going to take a little bit of market share from some of the existing players that are already in, or are they going to open up new parts of the market? It's an interesting, again, part of the dynamic that we don't know yet, because we're still so new, so early on in doing this.
I do know, if you want to bet on the Orioles winning the World Series, the odds are less than they were, and the Ravens as well. And it's a good time to do that if you want to get involved in that. It's summertime around here, and that's always a lot of fun for all of us. Seth Elkin is here from the Maryland Lottery. I want to get back onto the games and what you guys are doing with 50th as far as the summer and different things that you're bringing. But the jackpots got big this week too, right? I mean, like, there's always something cooking with you guys, which is why you come on every week. But the jackpot – I haven't talked jackpots here in, I don't think, 90 days, because it was sort of baking in. You had all this 50th anniversary, you had home run riches, we had things happening here, but still talking jackpots now going up on $250 million, both sides.
Yes, slowly but surely, we're now at more than a half a billion combined on the Mega Millions and Powerball jackpots, the two big national games. And, you know, it's so interesting. I mean, you've talked about this over and over, that it used to be $100 million got people excited and send people rushing to their retailer to buy some tickets. And, you know, you've got both of them now at more than $260 million. Powerball actually is more than $300 million. And, you know, not a whole lot of talk, a chatter about it, but it's going to start to ramp up. It takes on a life of its own. Once we get up over $500 million or $600 million on some of those, on those two games, we start to see people coming out to play a lot more. It does definitely drive ticket sales when that happens. So it's fun when those two games are really rolling along, because it just captures everybody's imagination. And you're right, it's been a little while. So I think we're due. We're due for a nice long jackpot roll. And Powerball is starting to get there at almost $325 million at this point.
My wife always notices we go by the Royal Farm. She looks in a little window, looks for the two lights. You know, she's waiting for the billion to come back, but I think we're a little ways away from that. Local winners and these, this has been a lucky batch. You tell Roz this, it's old school. We've had a lot of winners as we've gone out here this summer. Bring me up to speed on scratch offs, where we are. We got Lucky Sevens, Corvette out there. Still got the whole line of the 50th anniversaries out there, and still a lot of big tickets. I mean, you win a lot of money on a scratch off.
Yep, the Corvette Cash, as you mentioned, there's a second chance contest connected with that as well. So you could win $50,000 on the ticket, but then there are $10,000 second chance prizes. And then there is the final drawing that'll happen for Corvette Cash right at the beginning of October. So you got plenty of time to get in on that. And that final drawing is going to give you enough to buy a Corvette for yourself, $150,000 prize on that.
Whoa. $150,000. Would that buy my wife a 67 Corvette or not? I need to
know. I don't know about 67. I don't know about vintage, but you could certainly buy a new one probably.
I Googled this a couple weeks ago. I mean, I'll get her one in crappy shape. I mean, it doesn't need to be in perfect shape if we win this thing. Let's see. 1967 Corvette. I'm just working value. Let's see. How much does it cost? In excess of 75, that, well, I could do that. I get
hey, there you go.
75 grand.
So I'm probably better at pricing sports collectibles than I am at vintage automobiles, apparently. So
it's a good looking car, man. It really is. I would look really good in that car. So would my wife, by the way. I keep telling her I'm going to get her one of the little model sets because that's her dream car, the 67 Corvette.
There you go. Corvette Cash. You got a chance to win enough to buy one.
You want to ride in that. You know you would. Seth Elkin is here. He doesn't come often, but when he does, we use – you got any baseball you want to say here, give you a little free rein to run wild with your baseball thing? Because you pretend to be a Pirates fan, but you know a whole lot about the Orioles farm system. You really do.
Well, I don't know all that much about the farm system probably. I do know that they've got a host of great players that are on their way. And, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about they got good problems to have, figuring out where to get all these guys on the field when they come up. And even on their current major league roster, figuring out how to get everybody on the field. Is Gunnar Henderson a shortstop or a third baseman?
He can play anywhere he wants if he hits the ball 464 feet.
So, yeah, it's really a treat to see these guys. You know, see the work that the organization has put in come to fruition. You know, I am an Orioles fan. My mom's side of the family is from Baltimore. My mom watches the Orioles all the time. So she's in fact, I sent her. She was in. My parents were in Florida until recently. Came back here. They do the snowbird thing, and that a couple of maybe about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, they were in Kansas City, and Cedric Mullins made that diving catch on the warning track that just looked for all the world that the ball was over his head. And I sent her the video clip. I said, you know, you're not in town. I sent it to my mom. You know, you missed this. You might want to see this. And she sent back and said, I watched that three times. I can't believe that he caught that. You know.
So yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with us. Like my wife, they didn't play Monday night. My wife's like, what are we gonna do? And when they play these afternoon games, it's like, man, we're building the night around that and Wordle. You know what I mean? Like, so there is a point where the Orioles have quickly move back into, I'd say must see, but must know. You know what I mean? Like everybody knows who they're playing, what's going on. We're getting to know the players a little bit. Players seem like good guys when I see them on. So it has been fun and very, very meaningful to me, being the Free the Birds guy and being a guy whose last name's Aparicio, that I've lived long enough to at least see this sort of come back to life in a way where people can legitimately be excited again. And I think it breathes new life into the community. It really does.
It started, I think, a little bit last year, and we got into September, and they mathematically it was going to be a challenge, but they still had a chance to make the playoffs in September. So normally by September, nobody's talking about the Orioles and everything's focused on the Ravens. And being from Pittsburgh, you know, the same dynamic exists there. The people stop talking about the Pirates once the Steelers go to training camp. Once they hit Latrobe, the Pirate season is over. Usually.
Yeah, I have Will Graves on last week from the Associated Press. He's a Marylander from Waldorf, but he's been in Pittsburgh for a dozen years covering sports professionally for all of the sports up there. And we talked a little bit about the potential for the Pirates and what the Steelers represent in the community. But I'm like, dude, the Penguins are a big deal in Pittsburgh. And that's one thing that from a Baltimore perspective, maybe lacrosse fills that hole for what people are into here. Maybe it was horse racing at one point, but for the calendar, Pittsburgh's got a rich thing going on, and it's hard for baseball to break through. Where here, we've all been waiting for baseball to break through, you know, like, and once it does, it sort of opens up a floodgate of Oh, that's fun. That's good. I remember that. I loved Cal. I loved Boog. I loved Brooks. I loved Eddie. Whatever it is, that feeling for Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, these young players, that it can come back. And to see it come back is a beautiful thing. It really is.
You just hope that that the economics of the game don't cause this team to get broken up, because I think that's what we've seen so often for teams that have tough financial problems. The Pirates, they get good and then the team gets broken up and it takes years to get back there again. You want to take advantage of that opportunity once you've got it. Once you've got that collection of players, you really want to see it happen. And I think you're right that that's the feeling that you definitely get when you go to the ballpark. There's an excitement building. And I think, to me, I could feel it, like I said, for the first time really in September of last year, where the team was still relevant and it wasn't just all football talk. You were still talking baseball in September, which had to be a great feeling for Orioles fans.
Well, the excitement of a guy hitting the warehouse and the things that are going on, the things they're doing Mullins is coming back. I mean, everything they've touched, even Aaron Hicks, has turned out to be a good thing. They're gonna make a deal or two. They're gonna deal for some pitchers, and the Ravens get out of the way at the end of this week, and it's all baseball all summer long. So we'll be following that. I will be giving away these Maryland Lottery scratch-offs, courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery in the 50th anniversary. We're gonna be doing that at Spirits West next week. We have a whole roster of crab cake dates. I talk about them here on the air. You can go check them out at the Crab Cake Tour area of Baltimore Positive as well. Big appreciation to our friends at Window Nation for giving me the fun floppy hat and putting us on the road all summer long to celebrate 25 years, our 25th anniversary. And you're invited, Seth, as is John Martin, Roz, Doug, everybody come over. We're going to start the tour at Costas on the 3rd. That is our 25th anniversary for WNSD. And then on the 4th, we're going to go back to Drug City. 2 days in Dundalk to begin our 26th year of radio-free Dundalk. Seth, appreciate you as always. I hope to see you out on the road. Maybe go to a ball game together here. It's summertime in the big city, man.
There we go. Plenty of seats, as good as they are, plenty of seats. I saw the game the other day. I was watching, lots of seats available. So, plenty of opportunity to go. Good crowds, but lots of opportunity, too.
I want to see Mama Elkin down there in the white panel bird cartoon front, all right? Looking like Dippy Martinez, all right? Seth Elkin for the Maryland Lottery stop by. Good to have you on, brother. We got a busy week. Luke's out in Owings Mills during the day. He's at Camden Yards at night. They let him in. I'm uninvited, but I'm still here watching. We are talking. We are writing. I'm columnessing, re-releasing the Peter Principles, and Luke can be found anywhere the internet travels at Baltimore. Luke from Camden Yards down to Owings Mills in the afternoons as well. Any breaking news, you get it first on the WNSD Tech Service. All that brought to you by our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford. I am Nestor. We are WNSD AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.